attack everybody so they don't do some dumb crap while I'm introing. A review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists, very professionally. Each episode, we will be breaking down a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, whatever we feel like that day. And this time, we watched Lethal Weapon. My name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists I have with me to help break this down today.
It's John.
Hi, everyone. It's Tyler.
Hello. It's Rory.
Hey, it's Samuel.
And Rick.
And we have a couple of our regular guests here today. Say hello.
It is I, Mimi.
I know you missed me. It's Colton.
I was like, you're not going to say your name? Okay. Samuel put this one in the box. I keep wanting to call it the hat, but it's not a hat anymore.
It's a box.
Why did you put this one in?
I put this one in the box because it is an essential classic that everybody needs to watch, and to me, it is, I think, just about the quintessential, second half of the 1900s action film.
Okay.
If you want to sum up action movies from 1960 to 2000, watch Lethal Weapon.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you agree with this, having seen it before, Rick?
Yeah, I'm just still reacting to the whole 1900s. I was born in the 1900s, in the latter half of the 1900s. Lethal Weapon, it really brings together a lot of, I don't know, tropes into one movie. It's the buddy cop movie. Yeah. It's the action movie. It's the Vietnam War PTSD thing. You got all those things going on, and it just blends them so well and delivers a very entertaining motion picture.
Yep. Well, what about you, Colton? You'd also seen this before. How did you, I guess, come across this in your travels?
So I was a kid and my dad showed it to me.
That tracks.
When I saw it, that was like the first action movie I've ever seen, and it kind of sparked a love for action. So it was kind of cool thing to go back and watch it again with a more mature perspective.
Yeah, how old were you at
like
that time?
5.
Oh my god.
That also tracks.
Wow. Yeah, I was like 5, and it was great.
What's heroin?
You know the crazy part? I feel like I said that. I feel like I was like, what does that mean?
What's a heroin?
So none of the rest of us had ever seen this. What did y'all already know about this going in?
Well, somebody was the lethal weapon. I was like, it's got to refer, it can't just be gun, right? Gun lethal weapon, but is person lethal weapon? Maybe. Watch the movie and find out. So that's what it was going through my head watching it.
The best movie review I've ever heard.
I knew it was a quintessential action flick, like you had kind of sold it, and 1000%. That is what this movie is. This is the 80s put in a big box and then hand-delivered to all of us. And it's just like, that's the 80s, and that's for you. It's like, bro, for me, hey, look, it's all of the 80s. The hair, the guns, the storytelling, all
the
of
hair,
it.
The hair, for
the
sure.
The music.
The slow motion. The slow motion.
Oh, yeah, the slow motion.
The
what did you say, 10 frames per second?
It was like 10 frames per second. It's skipping like every other second.
It was just a slideshow. Yeah. It was crazy. They cut
a quick
to
PowerPoint.
I know. They did that for the
movie. Hey, it lines up with the font, bro.
Oh, my gosh. All right, John, what about you?
Turns out I had seen, like, clips from Lethal Weapon that I didn't know were Lethal Weapon. I recollect seeing the roof scene, at least the tail end of it. But no, I was thoroughly... It's campy. It was the 80s, and it's just action camp, and I just had a great time. But no, I thought it was a wild ride. Not what I expected from the title, but overall, I had a blast.
What about you, Rory?
I'll be very honest. I thought I was going to watch the Naked Gun movie. I mixed up. I knew it was Lethal Weapon, but I was expecting a comedy going into this, so I sat down and was like, this is not what this is at all.
Where's Enrico Palazzo?
So I was very confused for like
5 minutes clocked in, and we're good. And it was a great movie out of glass.
You had your own version of what John experienced.
Hey, at least you didn't watch the wrong movie.
Seriously, bro got psyched out.
Oh my god,
it was great though.
Trolls World Tour, guys, check it out.
Roy comes in, man. That Naked Gun movie was a lot different than I expected. You watched what? That wasn't even. It didn't even have the name.
Simpson.
For the record, also a great movie.
Oh,
yes.
Mimi, had you seen this?
I have seen this, but it was like a millennia ago. So I barely remembered a lot of it. So it was like, it was great to re-see it in my mind. But I would say,
as opposed to with your eyes?
Yeah, I know. It was like, it was mental, man. It was mental.
There's one, giving the censor something to think about.
I was thinking about all the things that would like not be allowed today in film. Like how many things
like all of it?
People would have freaked out about. And so I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I remembered how much I love 80s movies. And also, like, I feel like I enjoyed them so much more because I feel like it's not so doctored up and like perfect, and people look like people.
Yes,
and
right.
They don't, it's just fantastic. Like, he has like wrinkles and like their clothes, like nothing's perfectly done, and I'm just like, this is such a treasure. I don't like things as polished. I think it makes it more real. I don't know, I liked it.
Completely agree.
I actually had that same thought, and it everything comes back to Star Wars, but it brought me back to a big point about Star Wars when he opened his car door and his window just had all the smudges of his fingerprints on the edge of it. It's such a small thing, but it's something that you don't see in movies anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You cut all of that out, and that was one of the big things with Star Wars, is all the sci-fi films at the time were trying to do all this clean polish thing, and George Lucas said, no, we're going to make it a lived-in universe, right? And so Lethal Weapon, and really all the movies from this era, but it's just so crazy to go back and watch 70s and 80s movies.
Yes.
And it's like, it's real. It's real-world stuff, and in my opinion, it's so much better.
Agreed.
Yeah. I agree.
I knew little to nothing about this. I knew that it had Danny Glover and Mel Gibson. I knew it was called Lethal Weapon. I knew it had action, and I had seen the one clip of Murtaugh that they played in How I Met Your Mother when talking about the Murtaugh list in that one episode. And that's it.
And you have
that's all I knew.
Unknowingly heard the soundtrack because it is on my playlist, and I also snuck a little bit of it in there in the house music for And Then There Were None.
Oh, okay. So I haven't.
Oh, no.
And the music
cool.
was very good.
So good.
Oh, my God.
Very yes, good.
Man. That saxophone.
You're telling me, dog.
Every time I heard it.
He's telling it. Man.
Well, this one came out in 1987. It was directed by Richard Donner, written by Shane Black and Jeffrey Boehm, I think is how you pronounce it, and stars Mel Gibson as Martin Riggs and Danny Glover as Roger Murtaugh. You can watch this with a Philo subscription, buy or rent it on Vudu, YouTube, Apple TV, Prime, HBO Max, and Google Play. And the IMDb summary for this says, two newly paired cops who are complete opposites must put aside their differences in order to catch a gang of drug smugglers.
So our director is pretty interesting. He has not done that many films, actually. He is a legendary TV director, for the most part. He did a bunch of episodes from a bunch of TV shows. The Rifleman, Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Twilight Zone, Gilligan's Island, Get Smart. I mean, all these just classic 70s, you know, 60s and 70s TV shows. And then film-wise, he's only done a couple, but they're mostly iconic.
Yeah,
mostly.
Superman.
Yeah, Superman. The original
Goonies.
Superman.
Oh,
and then
wow.
He got cut out of Superman, too. He started it, and he got fired.
Yeah.
And then The Goonies and Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Lady Hawk, which if you guys have not seen Lady Hawk, it's going in the box because you will.
I've never even
really?
Heard of that.
I've heard of it, but I don't
you
know anything about
love
it.
Love it.
And then every single Lethal Weapon film, and that is the majority of his filmography. There are a couple of other little stuff in there that I've never heard of. But yeah, that is Richard Donner. And then Shane Black, the writer, I actually thought he had more credits than he does, because I feel like I know his name, but he has barely any credits. He wrote this in the second one, and then he wrote The Monster Squad, The Last Boy Scout, Last Action Hero, The Long Kiss Goodnight, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Then he wrote and directed Iron Man 3, The Nice Guys, and the newest remake of The Predator. And
I think I have heard of two of those things.
Okay, the newest remake of The Predator was really good.
It was really good. I'm a huge Nice Guys fan. Like, that is a great movie.
Nice Guys was pretty funny. Right?
Danny Glover was in one of The Predator.
He was in the
number two.
Or,
yeah, it's the sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, where they go and they're the hunters. Yeah.
Well, and he was also, Shane Black was also an actor in the original Predator film. So.
Oh, was he? Who did he play?
He played Rick Hawkins.
Oh.
Do you know who that is?
No, that's got to be like a non-major
character. Get to the chopper!
Or they... Yeah, it's got to be a non-major character because I love the original Predator movie.
Yeah.
So much.
That is our director and writer crew.
Okay, well, since this is
In a weird way, it tracks that this was directed by the same guy who did The Goonies.
It absolutely
does. Like, the films are nothing alike, but it tracks.
It has the same, like, I don't know, flavor of just, like, that kind of, like, grungy idea. That same kind of, like you were saying, that dingy kind of quality to it that actually makes it better. Like, it's not the same at all, but, you know.
Danielle describing it. It's got that really gross, unappealing grime, like a layer of film.
I didn't say gross or unappealing.
Of,
I said dingy.
And it's super gross and hard to watch, but it's just so charming and good, and I enjoyed it.
Okay, Tyler, well, since you want to talk so much, tell us about how you feel about the movie.
Okay, so my previous statement stands, where I definitely think this is a quintessential 80s action flick. This is where I become the heel again. I do not think this is better than Die Hard.
I think I agree with you.
I think that in a charming way, I enjoyed watching it. I am not slandering the movie. I did think that there were parts of it, because of how 80s it was, it made it very predictable. And that makes me lose points, because the second I can start predicting it, I start having less fun. Because when you show me something that's new and exciting and interesting, I'm right here when I have no idea what's going to happen. But the ending, like, with how archetypal they hit all of the beats, all of the setups for the obvious payoffs that were coming, there was nothing that made me go, oh, really? It's like that, right? The only time I was surprised was when they didn't do a trope that I was expecting them to. And so, now... Does that make it a bad movie? No, not at all. Very enjoyable. Still really liked it. But I think Die Hard is a better movie. I also don't think it's a Christmas.
I think to me why I prefer Lethal Weapon over Die Hard. And it's whatever.
It's a taste thing. I honestly think.
But
it's
I
taste.
Think for me it's because I don't have a ton of fun a lot of times with action movies that are just action. Mm. And that's kind of all Die Hard is, right? Mm-hmm. Die Hard is just wall-to-wall action. It is, all it is about is the action.
Yeah, it's so good.
Whereas Lethal Weapon has so much story in it. It's true. That's what I like. You know, you like John Wick. Like, I like John Wick. I don't know that I'll ever go out of my way to watch John Wick. Because it's just action. It's just nothing but action for 2 hours. And it's fine. It's fun. I prefer to go see it in theaters than to sit at home and watch it.
That's also a good point.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
also a really good point.
The other thing to keep in mind is that when this movie came out, the tropes that we're talking about were not the common tropes we're talking about now.
It's true.
Right?
True.
This was groundbreaking stuff.
Very much a trendsetter in the industry, I'm sure, right? With what they did.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I wasn't bothered by any, like, tropes, really, because I don't really mind if a movie is predictable, because I don't spend all my time, my brain doesn't automatically, when I'm watching movies, try to predict it. Like, if I do predict it, it probably means it was kind of predictable, just because I don't try. Like, even when I'm watching mysteries, like, when I've watched mysteries with Samuel, he'll be like, so who do you think it is? And I'm like, dude, I don't know, just let them surprise me. Like, they clearly want to. Like,
that's so relatable. That's so, I'm sitting there, I'm the same way. I'll be sitting there with, like,
Samuel's
a girl or something.
Samuel's making a yarn map in his head, like, who is it?
Dude, I'm like,
all right, well,
let's talk theories. What's happening?
He'll ask me, like, we watched, you know, a full, this is a little tangent, but we watched, like, a full season of, it was Broadchurch, the first season. And he was like,
I have to go watch Broadchurch.
It is very good. And after the first episode, he's like, so who do you think it was? And I'm like, There's 10 episodes. No way are they going to tell me soon or give me enough information to guess. I would like to gather some real evidence, sir. And so I waited until episode, like, 7, and then I was like, okay, it's this guy. And then I was right. But I was not going to guess wrong to Mr. Mystery over here, who always guesses it right.
Dude, that's Mr. Mystery.
That's the glory of being married to somebody with a like mind, right? Because we sit down, and we watch Mystery, and the second the first episode ends, we're like, who do you think it is? Who is it? And then we bounce ideas back and forth, and we're both wrong all the time. We never get it right.
See, I just like turning my brain off, so I'm in a similar boat where I purposely don't think too hard about it, but also it's enjoyable because I just get to experience it and let it kind of soak all
exactly. in. Exactly. I want to give the artists the chance to like do to hand it to me the way they wanted to. You know, I don't want to be constantly thinking ahead, like, what are they going to, oh, I bet they're going to do this cool thing. Because then when it happens, it doesn't give me the same like rush that I get from just experiencing something.
And to that note, I've noticed that whenever I do try to go out of my way to guess things, if I'm wrong, it's almost like a letdown. And it kind of,
even though no one knows because it was in your own brain, you still feel like an idiot.
Exactly.
I understand that. But no, I think I agree with you, Tyler. And here's what's weird. You're talking about Die Hard is all action, and this had like a good amount of a lot of story. And I agree with that. That arguably made it harder for me to follow because there was so much story that I was getting invested in. And then suddenly a bunch of fighting. And, like, my brain was having trouble keeping up with everything. Whereas with Die Hard, it's easier to just watch it and just be like, this is just a guy fighting. And I can enjoy it because that's all that it is. But, like, this had almost too much of both for me where I was actively struggling to realize what was happening. Like, there was so much happening all the time that I was like, I could tell you the vague plot, I would miss a lot of stuff and there would be a lot of holes in what I believe I watched just because I was still reeling from a performance in the last scene. And for just so everyone knows, I'm sober, but I would still be like reeling from the last scene, really good performance, really good relationship building, whatever it may be. And then get into something new and I'm still thinking about that. So my brain isn't fully registering what's happening in front of me. And then suddenly we're in the middle of a fight and I'm like, I don't know who he's fighting or why, and I'm just going to wait until they explain it again. And a lot of times they didn't. So for that reason, that's why I think I enjoyed Die Hard better, but I do appreciate a lot of the performances and just like the super cool stuff in this one. But that's just me.
I mean, Rick's disapproving father face tells me that he disagrees.
We don't have to agree.
No, I mean, so Die Hard's a good movie, and I feel like just based off of the facial expressions I've seen from Samuel in the beginning of this, we're in agreement that Lethal Weapon is a better movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Lethal Weapon brings so much story, and I think that's what makes it better than Die Hard, right? Because Die Hard has some story, right? It's got a little bit here and there, but it's mostly just, like you said, wall-to-wall action. It's not a lot of investment in that movie. But Lethal Weapon brings an actual like slew of good acting. Like,
well, and has two pretty major character arcs.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And not to mention, let's just talk about Mel Gibson's performance, right?
It was absolutely so fantastic. So I will not be slamming his performance at all. It was so absolutely good. Great.
The scene with him at the beginning with his dead wife.
No, it was amazing. Like, all of his work, really both of them, but especially him, I was just like, okay, this is incredible. And I guess my thing is if it's gonna be an action movie, it's already hard enough for me to really invest and enjoy an action movie, so I need it to just be kind of like just fun, or all a similar tone for me to kind of enjoy it. And so this one, because there was so much relationship and character and all this stuff going on, I'm like, I kind of just want to look at that. So, like, give me a little less of all the other stuff because it's distracting me. Yeah. Like, I want to watch everything
else. I guess I understand that. It'll go from, like, a very comedic bit to super heavy serious conversation, and then all of a sudden we're in the middle of a
And I guess that was my thing. It's not bad that it had variety, but there was so much variety, it was almost overwhelming. And by that, I mean it was overwhelming.
I feel like that was pacing of the time, though. You know what I mean? Like, in other movies from that period that I saw, or that I have seen, I should say, I feel like what? I feel like the pacing is similar. I feel. Am I wrong? Am I?
No, I'm just loving these references to the ancient times. Let us consult the oracle. Speak to us of the 1980s.
This movie came out like 15 years before I was born. Okay.
Yeah. All I know is when we knocked the dust off of the DVD, the VHS cover.
I saw this in the theater.
These things on YouTube.
So, I mean, a couple of interesting things about this movie from my perspective, as someone born in the 1900s.
two of us were.
Yeah,
that's true.
This movie came out. This was Mel Gibson, 1987. The only movies that I really knew him from before this were the Mad Max, Road Warrior, you know, and a couple of others where he was, you know, with the very Australian accent, or like with Mad Max, I don't think he spoke a word practically. So this is the first time you see him with the American Chicago accent that he's got, and you can tell he drops it a few times in there, which is cool. But yeah, I mean, from studying that time period of movies, I think this was a little bit different in that it did more of that character development. It wasn't just the flashbang of the fight and everything, and it pays off later in the franchise as you watch the others. That's a distinct advantage of Lethal Weapon over Die Hard, is the franchise as a whole. I would say Lethal Weapon is better than the Die Hard franchise. Now, I will say I enjoy Die Hard as a movie better than Lethal Weapon, but Die Hard came out after Lethal Weapon. I think Die Hard learned things from Lethal Weapon that they used in their story.
Probably.
It's funny you saying that about the character arcs being a little bit something that wasn't really happening as much in the action flicks and all, and then thinking about Richard Donner's background, I actually see a lot of television influence.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was thinking about buddy cop shows like Starsky and Hutch and things like that. There's a lot of that type of character interaction.
It's almost like they took a series and condensed it into a movie, right? They're going from case to case, and on every case they're getting to know each other a little more, and there's a little more character arc stuff, you know? It's this episode, it's the jumper episode, you know? All of that stuff.
Yeah. You even see it in the editing, because there's a lot of very quick cuts in the movie to entirely different scenes that have nothing to do with the previous scene, and you don't see that a lot in movies now, but you see it a lot in TV, because they have to for runtime purposes. So it makes sense. Okay, so do I have to say this?
No.
We can edit it
so
out later.
You ever watch a movie or a TV show about something you know a lot about?
Oh.
And immediately start to pick it apart?
Yeah.
So
my wife is a nurse. If that gives you any idea.
Samuel does that every time he watches a baseball movie.
Yeah, so I did that with this movie. Now that I'm older, I know a lot about guns. Gunplay's not great. Die Hard has that on this movie. The gunplay's not good. Like at the beginning when he's like, an M9 Beretta, wide ejection port for no jams. Yeah, right, buddy. Like there's a reason it's a joke of the military, right? It jams all the time. So, you know, it was that kind of thing. So I will give Die Hard that over Lethal Weapon. But.
You mean to tell me an M16 doesn't carry 5,000 rounds?
Dude, when he crashes the car through the wall and he's just spraying into the empty car, I'm like, dude, you expect me to believe you are special forces?
Yeah.
Where's the trigger discipline, bro?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like,
that's a really good point.
Get it together, man.
Yeah, you watch it enough times, you find a lot of plot holes.
But it still keeps its charm in some good ways.
Well, I guess that's the thing, is I'm not like, when I say I like Die Hard better, that's not me saying I disliked this or that like I thought it was bad or anything like that. It's just me saying for my kind of brain, it was harder for me to watch than Die Hard was. Which is probably saying that this is a better movie, because the other one was easier for me to just digest and enjoy and just like have fun with, which is honestly how I prefer my action movies to be, because I'm not a big action fan, so I kind of want it to just be like, you know, little quips and like, you know, and like goofy stuff and, you know, crazy kills and everything.
You know what to me is the biggest plot hole?
What?
Why did they wait to kill Hunsucker?
Yeah.
I don't
if
know.
They were gonna do it, why they didn't kill him because he talked to the cops? Because they found out he was talking to the cops when they went to go kill him.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
What? That is weird.
Why kill his daughter if you're just gonna kill him like 3 days later?
But the bullet through the eggnog, though.
But the bullet through the eggnog, though.
Tyler, sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. No, John, you go first, then Tyler.
No, but I think
because he hasn't talked as much.
We have this conversation of Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon, and I think both movies are very successful, but successful in the way that two different movies are just the way I generally categorize movies is. They either exceed in a narrative standpoint in getting a story across, or they exceed in entertainment value. I think Die Hard exceeds in the entertainment value. It's fast-paced, it's action, don't have to use your brain a lot, very linear story. Mm-hmm. But I think Lethal Weapon, on the other hand, both same category of movie, just succeeds in a different category as far as narrative, you get more dynamic characters, you get more of a kind of bounce around plot, but for the most part, you enjoy watching the characters grow, especially Riggs being mm-hmm. kind of the heavy focus, and you know, and how that ends up impacting I can't pronounce his name,
Murtaugh,
his character, and how that affects his family and everything. So I think both movies, in my opinion, are I would probably give them the exact same score. Don't ask what I gave Die Hard. I will not remember what I gave Die Hard.
I have no most memory important what I gave question. Die Hard.
What?
Which one has more rewatchability?
That is the question.
No, don't give me that. I'll come back to you on that.
Okay,
at
Tyler.
The end of the episode, that's important.
Actual smoke is coming out of John's ears right now. I'm gonna punch. Nuts. It's nuts.
It was more relevant when I had the thought, but in the fight scenes, I noticed, I did notice, and this isn't really a thing on Lethal Weapon as much as the genre as a whole, but I do notice, because you were talking about Special Forces wouldn't do that, the tightness that we've seen in modern media about what Special Forces looks like, how tight, how controlled, how tense everything is, right? This is, I think, what you get when you do the fusion dance between tight military gunplay and Power Rangers fight scenes. And you blend the two together and you get 80s fight scenes.
You lost me when you said tight military gunplay and immediately had me back when you said Power Rangers fight scenes.
That's crazy.
I'll feed you baby birds.
Think about how big and crazy and all how the head bobbles every time they do a flip, right?
Perfect.
It's that kind of zaniness but blended with the realism of, okay, this is a gun and this shoots bullets, right? And so that's just something that I noticed that I thought was funny.
Well, one of the very first things I noticed, it was in the Christmas tree lot fight. When,
that's a great one.
Well, when the first, like, you know, shots are going off, you know, we're getting the gist of, oh, the crazy, you know, flailing about as they're falling down. And one guy didn't even have blood on him, but he was writhing and then covered a spot that wasn't bloody at all and was just like, I'm dying. And that made me laugh.
The blood
very
didn't
much.
Come out yet.
Well, okay. You noticed when there's so many gaffes. When Amanda jumped off the building and landed on the car, there was no blood at all.
No blood at all.
No injury.
She was completely intact.
When Riggs and the guy were on top of the building and they jumped off, did you notice that their handcuffs weren't connected when they jumped?
No, I didn't
did.
Even see
and then
that.
They were connected
see
again
that.
When they walked off. Yep.
It's all that's way too dangerous.
That's safety, baby. That's what we go for. Well, you can tell that the other guy went to grab Mel Gibson's hands, like, oh, we're supposed to be holding hands as we do this to mask the fact that we're
and
not.
And Mel Gibson probably
cuffed.
Was like, I'm not doing that.
It was hilarious. It's hilarious. I notice it every time.
I know what you were thinking about, Sam. It's something to the tune of, we can't make a Lethal Weapon today. Because
what?
Of the language, because of the language that they use when the house exploded and he immediately drops the F slur.
As soon as he was like, Mel Gibson won't do that. That's immediately.
Yep. I could see the light go off behind your eyes. It was amazing. You're just like, wait, you know what else he can't do?
I've seen that movie a billion times, right? And we watched it with the captions on. I never realized that's what he said.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I never heard it.
Well,
because
that was something
the volume
you...
on the TV was like it. 300 decibels. But if I was watching this at my standard volume at home, I've never known that's what he said.
Well, that was something you said, is you were like, it's a joy to watch this with captions, like actually knowing what's being said.
That's what he said. That's interesting.
I was really impressed with Mel Gibson's acting. I always forget how much I like him until I watched
until
so
you remember.
Until I remember, and I'm like, yes, because like Signs was like the one movie I really enjoyed with him.
Oh yeah, growing up, I watched that all the time.
Loved it.
All the Signs.
It's a good one. It's very good. John.
You should watch Signs on probably on your own time. But
oh, it's so good.
It is very good. You will not regret it.
It's right up your
traffic
alley.
Signs.
I mean,
stop
you've got
signs,
powerhouse actors. Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix in the same place.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're
Wait,
so good.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Mel Gibson,
and it's
Joaquin Phoenix.
Very
it's
good.
M. Night Shyamalan.
It's good.
Oh,
it's
I'm
busy that week.
It's the one
but
we don't like it.
Mel Gibson's performance with like some of the moments, I won't like, I don't know what we're about to say, but one of the things, like several lines that he said, but something that I'm like, ooh, I felt that, because I feel like the acting was just so on point in the lines of, like, I find a reason to live every day.
Yeah.
Like, I find a reason every day. And I was like, ooh, it's so true, because, like, I've been in that place. And, like, so his acting and just, like, how, in all of those scenes, I just felt like that is very accurate. And I was very shocked that, like, in this action-packed movie that's just, like, has a lot of comedy and it's fun and whatever, and then all of a sudden I'm like, don't mind me over here, just like you know. So it was just so good, like even though it did flip-flop a lot and you really did have to like change gears pretty quick, but I really enjoyed that because obviously when I watched it when I was younger I didn't catch a lot of those mm-hmm. like kind of undertones and more serious stuff.
Well, it's
all right.
So anyway,
I mean, for and that's kind of I think what I like about Lethal Weapon is that it, for an action movie, it handles very heavy subjects with like a lot of tact,
yeah.
Which for an '80s movie is super impressive.
Oh yeah.
Especially an '80s action film of all movies, but.
No, it's
awkward silence.
It's the two lines that stand out from Mel Gibson in that whole movie are that God hates me, that's why, and he goes, you should hate him back, you should try hating him back, it works for me. And the we should do what the one shepherd said to the other and get the flock out of here.
I couldn't.
It's so good, man. It's comedic genius.
In the middle of this like very serious moment, just
oh
rescued
my God.
The dog.
It suggests that Riggs was thinking about that joke while being electrocuted.
Yep. Are we doing the whole favorites, least favorite thing, or is it just?
Oh, we're gonna get there right
okay,
now. We're
cool.
Just still, we're just still, you know. Disgusting.
I couldn't remember what we
yes,
did for quick reviews, so.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Well, jumping forward. well, actually, before we go to our kind of like end segments here, does anyone have any like just kind of general final thoughts before we move into all our stuff at the end?
Oh, hold on. We have to debate the question.
I was thinking we're on the same page here. I think we're on the same page here.
Is
Rory
it a Christmas movie?
Yeah, Rory.
Is it a Christmas movie?
Go
Christmas
in.
Movie? Is it a Christmas Bob's movie? Boy. I do not think it is a Christmas movie.
Correct.
It takes place at Christmas, but yep. Christmas does not affect the plot enough other than just some background thematics for it to be considered a Christmas
agreed.
Movie.
It's just a setting. I mean,
yeah.
it's just the time or a time of the month in which the story took place. It's not influencing anything that the characters have to do or anything they have to do in the future.
Exactly. It's like saying, I don't remember which Harry Potter movie it was, but like that one's a Christmas movie.
Right.
It's not.
Cool. So, under those rules, It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas movie.
Nope.
Ooh.
It's not.
Ooh, boy, just brought out the guns.
Okay. I can see that.
So, if you're willing to admit that It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas movie, then I'll buy that Lethal Weapon isn't.
It's at least as much a Christmas Ooh. Movie as Die Hard.
Yeah,
I disagree.
Die Hard utilizes the idea of Christmas more,
yes,
in my opinion.
Yes, correct.
Oh, for sure.
100%.
He used Christmas wrapping tape to hold his gun.
Yeah,
Christmas
and,
was the entire reason
and
for them being there
and
in the first
And presents
place.
Are a thing several times throughout this. Like, in terms of aesthetics, it's just as much in one
there's
as in the
Christmas
other.
Christmas trees.
The,
there's Christmas
well, we can
decorations.
Talk
of the,
well,
there's
the soundtrack
Christmas
is Christmas music.
Here's the thing. If we're going for that
what?
Argument...
What?
What
you
are
wait,
about?
Whoa, yeah,
you
wait,
forget
the opening, the closing.
You
the
forget.
Like, you're talking about just like a couple of songs.
Yeah,
that
there
were like
five
by the way, this is at
Christmas
and like that's it.
Yeah.
There's a few Christmas songs, but you also forget you want to sit there and use the presents in an argument. It was also Murtaugh's birthday, like, a little bit before.
It's a birthday movie.
It's a birthday movie.
100%
of it. So, like, the presents aren't a good basis for the argument.
There's definitely a scene where it is exclusively mentioned that the only, like, part of the reason that scene is happening is because of the time of year. And that is the jumper scene. He says, things get crazy, life gets crazy, especially around this time of year.
That's set dressing. That's not the actual
plot. The plot of Die Hard is that
they're raiding a Christmas party. The whole premise surrounds the Christmas party.
Like Gremlins is a Christmas movie because Gizmo is a Christmas present. Like, he literally is bought as a Christmas present and then Christmas happens.
Gremlins isn't a Christmas movie. So what about
It's a Wonderful Life then?
I have not seen that movie in a hot minute enough to give my take on it.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
That's a Christmas movie, bro.
Exactly.
That's a Christmas movie.
So is Lethal Weapon and Die Hard.
I have not seen it. I can't give my honest take on that.
I will concede that It's a Wonderful Life is not a traditional Christmas movie by those rules, but it is merely adapted to a Christmas movie by society. It is a traditional Christmas movie by literal tradition.
I actually agree. I think you're cooking over there.
I definitely agree. I was watching it the whole time and just wasn't feeling, like, I kept forgetting it was Christmas until suddenly I'm like, oh, there's a Christmas tree in the background. Oh, right, it is at Christmas. And if I have to be constantly reminded it's at Christmas, it's not a Christmas movie.
Exactly.
There wasn't a single snowflake in
Die Hard has a lot of snow, and there's also, like, all of them are, like, going off to fly, you know,
okay,
in the
so
airport.
Okay, so we never have
Christmas.
Christmas in Georgia, then.
Nope, it's way more ingrained in the movie and the plot and why that people are there, why their families aren't with, you know, like, all those little things, and there's lots of treat. There's all sorts of stuff.
I completely agree.
Speaking of Christmas movies, I do find it fascinating that Riggs, in one of the scenes towards the beginning, pulled a reverse Vanilla Ice, and instead of ice cubes in the man's mouth, he woke him up with coffee.
That he was drinking.
And I saw that, and my brain immediately went, Vanilla Ice. And I was like...
A man after my own heart.
I always forget that was a movie we did on this podcast.
Oh, yes. It is my goal in life to not let you guys forget.
One of the first movies
you
did.
You need to show.
I don't know about
movie.
First.
Oh,
yeah. One of the early
ones.
Every time you bring it up,
it's
all
really
I hear
good.
Is ditch the zero and
get
with
the hero.
It's the chick who drives the horse.
We go so hard, dude.
What is the answer? In that case, what is the question? And he's got this big goggles on his face with the light. Yeah, the movie's unhinged.
It is the craziest thing.
It's hingeless.
Okay.
The name's Hackett.
Does anyone
James
have
Anthony
any
Hackett,
other
Jimmy.
Kind of just general thoughts before we get into all of our end stuff? Going once. Going twice.
I will say, let's go. This will be an interesting conversation for the three of us here. I would almost posit that Lethal Weapon 2 is better than Lethal Weapon 1.
I fully agree, actually. I watched Lethal Weapon 2 when I was a little bit older, and that was what I associated with the Lethal Weapon franchise.
Honestly, I have seen Lethal Weapon like 4 or 5 times. I've seen Lethal Weapon 2 once 7 years ago. So
gotta rewatch it then.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. It is,
in
my
opinion, haven't seen
the
any
best.
Of the rest at all.
Lethal Weapon 3 was not good. Lethal Weapon 4 was meh. So... All right, that's it.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about that.
Well, now we get to play our favorite game. We got a recast.
Oh, Jesus.
I already have my duo.
It's really a really small cast.
I already have my duo.
I want to be the girl in the very beginning.
we'll unpack that later. We'll unpack that later.
I want the audience to beg for the left breast to come out, and then we'll live them. Not too dissimilar to how it happened.
And by the audience, I mean Mimi.
No, me and Mimi. It wasn't just Mimi. We were both sitting there like, did they only pay her to have the right one out? Where's the left one? Like, it's been covered the whole time.
We're paying customers. Give us both.
It would not be an 80s action movie without some gratuitous nudity.
It's true.
Come on.
Yeah.
We did get Mel Gibson's butt.
We did. We already did.
Little something for everybody.
Talking man's
whole thing should be.
Well, my duo that I had set from about 15 minutes in was Rick as Murtaugh and Colton as Briggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riggs, not Briggs. That was 100% what I had. About 15 minutes in, I was like, that's it. That's the pairing. But aside from that, I have nothing. So whatever you guys have.
I'm not going to lie. I have Tyler as Mr. Joshua.
Oh,
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I liked him. He was cool.
I get to beat you to death.
In a lot of ways,
I get a big stick.
In a lot of ways, I feel like you're not dissimilar from Gary Busey.
Bro.
Oh my god.
That is the biggest compliment insult combo.
What is happening?
Bro, I don't know enough about Gary Busey to
do some research.
I'm gonna Google search Gary
Busey.
Do some
research.
I'm gonna type in
a little bit of controversy.
Alright, Google.
What happens?
What's wrong with Gary Busey?
No, I was gonna say Rory is Rianne.
What's popping, guys?
Oh, goodness, the guy who got brain damage on the motorcycle?
Yes,
that was Gary.
Not Mr. Johnny.
Wait, what?
No, I said that Rory is the problematic daughter.
I'll take
it. Yeah,
I love being problematic.
Here's my opinions on. No, Mimi is the kid who's describing.
Oh my gosh!
Alfred, Alfred, mine.
Oh my
god!
That
tattoo with
that sword.
Kill people.
He was paint. Ice cream. I like ice cream.
Oh goodness.
I feel like John is the guy that was electrocuting Riggs.
The Chinese
John
man?
Kid.
See, I was
gonna
put,
stay on that pen.
I was gonna put John as, I don't remember his name, but eggnog guy.
The grenade that Murdoch had the whole time.
That's John.
That John's the grenade.
You know, we have to call this out though, because it was a very funny scene. The other cop going, I think I'm an 80s man. I cried in bed last night. It's so funny, man. It's
so relatable. So no, good. Why do you think I was crying?
It's so
you're right,
relatable.
You're an 80s man.
So relatable. I love it. It keeps turning, man.
Bruh, okay. Put the cable.
It's spinning.
Oh my god.
Tighten it.
Just leave it.
I can't. I tried.
Don't move.
Okay.
Carousel progress.
Is there anyone else? Do me and Samuel just not get to be in this one?
Samuel could.
I mean,
be.
Samuel's in the movie.
Samuel's the jumper.
Samuel's the jumper.
Oh my god!
Sure. I feel like you could play that.
Samuel's hitting you with it. Thanks.
We unpack that.
He's a jumper because of all of us.
I think Daniel could be Mr. Mendez. He was the drug dealer that was buying together with him and was freaked out.
I like
by
that.
All of
yeah.
the,
I like that.
Yeah.
And then Samuel can be the wife.
Trish.
Yeah. You can be Trish. Yeah, you get two.
No,
bonus.
No. Samuel can be the main.
Could be the police.
The main heroin dealer.
Oh, big bad.
Three. Yeah,
big
you,
bad.
Be the, you can be whoever you want.
In Zootopia.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, what would be the drinking game for this? You have to have take a drink, finish your drink, and
I actually have one. Take a drink whenever they do something that by today's standards would be problematic.
Okay.
Take a shot whenever he says, I'm too old for this.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, that's
yes.
a good one.
He
says
it twice.
Huh?
Yeah.
Twice.
I only call it once.
Finish your drink whenever Riggs makes an inappropriately timed joke.
Oh, that's going to be a lot.
I feel like you should take shots whenever if you want a really good night, you should take shots whenever there's jazz music that plays really loud.
That's
alcohol poisoning.
That's
a ton.
I love the way you think.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Drink
directly from the liquor bottle whenever the jazz music starts, and you may put the bottle down when it ends.
If it's wine, you guys have.
Every time they mention a prostitute is a good one.
They do that a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not enough to get, like, alcohol poisoning, but it's enough to mess you up.
They're gonna bust dicks.
Yeah.
Finish your drink.
The juxtaposition between that and the house exploding is crazy.
Do it again!
Like, they caused it.
Can I just be recast as that whole group of kids except for Arnold? Or Alfred?
Arnold?
I can't remember.
Who is Arnold?
I can't remember
the
names, dude. I barely remember the main character's names.
Are you going to be football head?
What's your name? Don't tell him, Alfred!
What were you saying, Rory? Yeah, what was the finisher drink?
I have no clue, actually.
Oh, I teach
you.
Oh,
finish your drink whenever the daughter inappropriately flirts with
Oh my god.
That's a good one.
I
solid.
How How old is she supposed to be?
Yeah, that was my question.
Like 16, 17? Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And how old is he?
Not 30. Well into his 30s.
Oh. He's grown.
Well, because he was in Saigon in 69, and this is in the 80s. Yeah. So.
Well, his wife died in 1984, and so this was weeks after that, right?
Yeah.
So he was 19 in Laos in 69, so somebody do that math, he's probably 32 or something.
Lovely.
Like that.
Yeah.
So great. So twice.
Welcome to the 80s, guys.
Oh, good. Right. Okay.
Hey, nothing ever happened. He never reciprocated.
He not in this movie.
No, but, you know, next movie.
Wait,
does he in the next one either? No.
No.
But
he's
things.
Respectful.
It's
it gets more
it's
problematic.
Humorous. No, it's humorous what happens with Rhiannon in the next movie.
Okay.
She gets put in a time capsule, and she's aged up, and
oh,
she's an
no.
old woman,
a
but Malcolm is the same age.
What?
All
right. So, favorite and least favorite moments from this one. Whoever wants to go first.
I'll start. I mean, my favorite moment is the jumping scene. It is the perfect mix of, like, story arc, but also being so funny.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's absolute reversal once he's like, all right, you want to jump? And he's like, no, no! Like, it's beautiful comedy timing that, no, now if you jump, you'll be a murderer.
Oh, yeah, kill cops. Yeah. So funny.
Yeah, it's my favorite scene in the whole film.
What about your least favorite?
When it ends. When the movie ends is my least favorite.
Come back to me on that one.
Okay.
My favorite scene is when they're in the shooting range.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
a good one.
That's a
Mel
really
Gibson
good one.
Puts the happy face
yes.
on the target. That just cracks me up. All the dialogue in that scene is just so great. Just the back and forth.
Them misunderstanding
that.
Each other. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if they're, it's just the, it's thin, it's really thin, you know, all of that. My least favorite is the absolute unnecessary death of the two cops outside the house when Mr. Joshua comes back.
Yeah.
Because they've clearly already been there. They've left a note inside the house
yeah.
telling Mr. Joshua they left the two cops out there to die.
That's a good point.
That's all. That was their
That's
only
fair.
Purpose in the whole movie. They...
Yeah.
Added nothing.
And they probably should have been more on guard, right?
Yeah,
and more suspicious of the crazy car driving up.
Be on the lookout for a big guy with blonde hair.
And I was like, a big gun that has unlimited bullets.
He drove up really close in their business, and they're just like, what's up, dude? And he's just like, all right, dead.
Seriously.
Oh, no. I've seen the movie a few times.
I gotta go favorite moment, and this is just to be different from you two, because really the jumping scene is my favorite scene because it's so good. But I'm gonna have to give it to the end fight scene, but the very end of it, for the exact reason I stated before. Excellent use of a triangle choke. We take those. That's good right there. Least favorite scene, it's a really hard one. That's a really hard one. It's probably going to be towards the end when he shoots the driver of the car, because that whole scene is just like, that would not happen. Like, that's a hard shot to make. He would have been flattened into pieces by that car.
The only reason why it gets a free pass from me is because they did the setup for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They did the setup for the quick draw at the range, and so I even whispered to Mimi seconds before it happened. I was just like, oh, he's going to do the quick draw thing.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's cool. Like,
it's
a Murtaugh's gun.
Yeah.
It's a very cool scene, but it's not.
Oh.
It feels out of place. You know what I mean?
I have my least favorite scene.
Oh.
The porn of the dead girl.
I considered that for a second.
That was tough. That wasn't my favorite.
But Ralph was ready for her, Samuel.
Bro, I was so convinced Trish was going to walk in. I was convinced. I was like, and
why are you watching?
It's evidence, baby. It's evidence. And they were going to play it off. But
I was deeply concerned that any members of his family were going to walk in. He's just watching that out in the middle of the house.
Actual porn.
I'm like, dude, like any of his kids could walk in. Like, dude.
I'm a detective, baby. Come on. It's like, I fully expected that to play out.
I think least favorite for me has to be Mr. Joshua just crashing his car and just getting out like nothing ever happened. I'm like, there should be at least a limp or something. I understand you're supposed to be the big bad of this whole scenario. You crashed your car into a pole and it was on fire. What are you talking about? You just walk away scotch-free.
I mean, bro did take out a telephone pole like it was made out of rubber. Like, that's kind of crazy.
I also cannot... Well, you know what?
They got him now. I guess that's the felony we're worried about.
I'll actually save that. Continue, John.
Honorable mention has to go to the 80s man line that you had mentioned earlier, which was just so good. I was like, wow, that was painfully relatable. Hey, man.
Oh my god.
We're all 80s men. But favorite moment has to go to, have you not met anybody you haven't killed in the same day? I haven't killed you yet.
That's a good one.
But no, that's my favorite scene, personally. Not to copy anybody else. They're all fantastic scenes in there.
There are a million good scenes. Lots of good one-liners, for sure. I think the one that stood out to me the most, though, was definitely when they basically go at it, and he's like, you're crazy, aren't you? And, like, they really go at it of, like, he's like, if you're just gonna do it, let me do it for you. And, like, he has no sympathy for him, like, and... it kind of leads to this good, like, climax of, like, those two characters really coming face to face of, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, normally it's handled with such care, and for them two to, like, duke it out and there be no, like, empathy, it's like, no, we're gonna hash this out now because, you know, you're dangerous for me and we're both in the situation we don't want to be in. And then to eventually have that resolved where they're, you know, best buds in the end. Like, I love that tension of, like, two people that are, like, stuck together in the situation they both don't want to be in. Then they find that common ground, and then they, like, are best buds. I loved that. And then probably the worst for me was when he got shot with the bulletproof vest with a shotgun. And he just gets right back up. I'm like, sir, you would be laying there for a very long time. Like, your life would be saved. But you would not be okay. You would be in severe pain.
But that defies the logic of action. The time, which of not even of the time, of action movies. If you have bulletproof vest, you cannot be killed by a bullet.
It's true.
Like, that's how it works. That's how all movies, I don't think there's ever, at least I haven't seen one, where someone gets shot with a bulletproof vest and doesn't make it. My favorite part was when it ended. And my least favorite was when it started. No, I liked it. It was a good... No, I'm kidding. I think that my favorite scene was when he was giving the daughter the hollow point.
Oh, that was good.
I really liked that. I like how they did it. I liked how it was subtle and it wasn't in your face. And it was... I thought it's like as far as that scene could go, they went there in the most appropriate way and I loved it. I thought it was great. The whole... He'll know what it means. The setup, the payoff, I actually thought that was beautiful. In terms of least favorite, I don't like copying what other people say. I like to keep it fresh, so there's other things to pick apart, right? I did not like the shower porn after she died. I thought that was not fun. I think it's on brand for me to go with the torture scene just because I don't like it. I did like how he turned it around because when the bad guys are at their lowest and they flip it and you know they're at the flip the script, that is very exciting. Like, just in media, I love when they do that. So I knew he was going to flip the script on him, especially when I saw his legs weren't tied down. I was like, he's going to do something, right? He's going to kick him or something. And then he did. So that's my least favorite. That's my
broke his neck.
Yeah. With his leg. Really hurt him. It was hot. But yeah, that's my take, Your Honor.
All the water streaming down his body.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't even have a shirt neither, too. That's talking about fan service.
There's a lot of water in this movie.
That's true. It was.
Yeah.
Rory.
Plenty of wet.
I'm a shameless hack and will copy other people. I did not like the porn scene.
It was
probably the only scene I did not like.
Wow, hot take.
Yeah, I know. It's a really controversial opinion here that I'm putting out there, and I'm sorry to the people I've offended.
Who wants to argue with them?
Anyone? You know what?
No.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. What's your takes? Come on, Colton. I believe in you. Yeah. Look me in the eye and say it.
No.
But my favorite also has to be the fight scene for different reasons. I think I said it before. Sorry, that's a good point. The final fight scene. Apologies.
Which fight scene in action?
Yeah, which fight scene? It's so good. The final fight scene where he's duking it out with Joshua.
That was absurd.
It was so funny.
Absurd. I loved it, but it was absurd.
It was the absurdity was what made me love it. I said it out there, but I think all crimes should be settled that way. If the villain wins, he gets off scot-free, charges dropped. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, he earned it.
He earned it.
Because
so,
that's the craziest.
So trial by combat.
Trial by combat. Let's bring it back. 2024. This is what I'm campaigning on. We're starting in Dallas, Georgia, as a mayor. Please vote for me. Thank you very much.
Bro, Tyrion
Matt Artis does not condone Rory's beliefs.
Tyrion Lannister would be so happy with you right now.
Thank you. I've never seen that.
That was the thing that had me so shook, is that, like, he is like, everyone stand down, I'm gonna fight this man. But all the cops have this guy surrounded. If Riggs loses, he still gets shot for assaulting a cop. It was their, we'll say, very conservative use of the law as cops. Read him his rights. Oh, you've already heard him. It's like, oh. I'm sitting there in 2024 going,
you don't have to read someone their rights when you arrest them. It doesn't get them off scot-free.
That's true.
God, really?
That's not,
really?
How, that
yeah.
It's not
yeah.
how that works.
We'll save that for another
You don't get to kill somebody.
We'll save that for our legality podcast.
What are you talking about?
Is that a thing?
What I am saying, like, case regardless of what happened, still read them the still read them the right.
That's
you don't have to.
Gestures of
whatever.
Well, oh my gosh. My favorite moment, so I'm just picking things to be different, really. So these are things that were favorites and least favorites. I really, really loved, for no reason at all, him coming in with the coffee cup and just, like, so casually just being like, okay, so we gotta get up. We have a lot to do today.
What time is it? Day time.
And Murtaugh is just, like, freaking out that he's in his room, in his house, waking him up when he wants to sleep. And it was, it was killing me. It was so good. My least favorite, and I don't know why, but Mr. Joshua is not an intimidating enough name for that character,
no,
and I was deeply
not.
Disappointed in it when they were just like, it's Mr. Joshua,
the
and
big,
I'm like, that is not even kind of scary.
Mr. Because a Mr. is supposed to add an intimidation factor, it doesn't.
I think it would be more intimidating if he was just Joshua.
I agree. It's the Mr. It's
it
just
was,
like, it's like Mr.
It makes
Joshua.
It sound
like
he's like,
oh,
like a camp counselor. How you call camp counselors like Mr. their first name.
He's the youth pastor.
Mr. Joshua. Yeah, like literally he sounds like a youth pastor.
English teacher hugging me right now. I don't understand.
Yeah, that was one of my least favorites.
Also, is he supposed to be the girl that or like the guy
Dude,
that the girl's dating.
That's what I assumed. That's what I assumed because
yeah,
that was the one thing I predicted. Is when he was talking about, like, you know, to the kid. Well, what does he look like? And he was like tall and blonde. I was like, I bet it's gonna be that
no,
kid.
Because the
no.
kid was found dead.
Yeah,
right?
That's
yeah.
what they were saying. Is the kid was found
yeah.
dead?
Okay.
And that's what they were describing.
See,
oh,
see,
oh,
see,
oh,
see, that was one of those
I
things I totally
that.
Missed.
I
that was one
that.
Of the things I missed.
When they grab Rhea.
And she doesn't. That doesn't seem to bother her at all at
no.
any point.
No,
because I was like, "Where's his dimples? I don't see any dimples."
I mean, she got rescued by Riggs. She's not worried about it at all.
I mean, true.
she's got a backup right there.
That's the only kind of logic, or it's just like, my boyfriend just got shot, but this attractive cop is rescuing me. It's like,
I mean,
what
literally, the guy
what?
Said there are. The bad guy goes, "There are no heroes left in the world," and in he comes with a guy on his back. I'm
Classic.
Like, as if Rhiann wasn't in love with him enough already. Like, it's never gonna be over
I
now.
Need a hero.
And he's like soaked in water with his shirt half off.
Yes, like
no one's mad.
Oh my gosh. Well, out of 10, according to Colton, not actually hollow point bullets, what would you rate Lethal Weapon? How quiet it gets.
Samuel, is this a 10 out of 10 movie?
No. I really like it. I would probably give it an 8.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Solid rating.
It's a classic. That's more why I put it in, because when I realized that, like, none of y'all had seen it, it's like when Rick put in Die Hard, I was like, y'all have to see it.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Did I put in Die Hard?
Someone put in Die Hard. I'm
pretty sure you did.
I'll take it. I mean, I'll take credit for that. I'm kind of with Sam. It's far from a perfect movie. It is a great movie. It is a classic of its time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 8.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think I'm comfortable giving it an 8.5 non-hollow points as well.
Thank you. It's not a hollow point. It's a dum-dum. Like, what are you talking about, bro? Sorry.
You missed me saying that because he's talking.
Yeah, how dare you talk on this podcast? You come on her podcast to talk?
I'm breaking on the record that you're my worst friend.
Well, good. It's on record.
And as far as rewatchability goes, I think...
Oh, yes, here's the question. Which is more rewatchable, John, this or Die Hard?
You could say Die Hard. It's okay.
I think Lethal Weapon has more rewatchability.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Because it has elements of comedy, which I find help add to rewatchability, because you can pick up new bits, new jokes, new missing portions.
As opposed to Die Hard, which, you know, has no comedy.
None.
Look, I'm not perfect, all right? You're sitting there asking to compare a movie I saw forever ago versus a movie I just watched.
John, if you're not going to be perfect, I think you need to just go.
Dude, you know what? Good night, everybody.
It's the comment and then the immediate, like,
Excuse me. Well, you know, there, my answer. Happy?
Yes.
Yes. Because I agree, Lethal Weapon has more rewatchability.
Yeah.
Well, who's next?
Give it a solid 8, because I have to compare it to the other action movies that I really like. And it's good, but it's not better than those.
Colton, think about the saxophone.
8.2. You're right. You know what? You make a fair point. Way to my heart.
Whoever's next?
Okay, I'll just be honest. 6.5, with the understanding that 5 is a perfectly movie, right?
Is a perfect movie?
Is a perfectly just movie. It just exists. I watched it. I wasn't upset that I watched it. I'm not thrilled that I watched it. 1 being the worst movie ever, 10 being the best movie ever. I say it's a 6.
What's a good example of a 5 movie?
That's a good question. What is just a movie?
That's just a
ball
example.
Hold on.
Like the 5th Harry Potter movie.
That really? Might be. Oh, the 5th one is by far the worst.
The worst, but I didn't put this movie.
Let's save that. We'll
come back to it.
I gotta unplug. I can't believe you just said that. I can't believe you agree with it.
Yeah, because it's true.
Okay. So, let's talk about something else. So, that is just not true. That's the best wizard fight in all of cinema.
I didn't say the fight. I said the movie as a whole, but let's continue.
But it's really not,
you know,
not,
we'll
though.
Save
it's
it for our Harry
movie.
Potter series,
yeah,
which
we're
going
to
have
to.
Rabbit hole.
Goodness, what is one of the movies of all time? you know what? Well, that's probably like a 5.5. But I would say close to it would probably be like Aquila and the Bee, but like more mid. You know what I mean?
I think a perfect 5 movie for
that
me...
That is out of...
By that definition, Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton film.
Yeah. Sam is right. Aquila and the Bee is probably a 6 anyway. So, because it's charming.
Aquila and the Bee?
I love that movie.
You pulled that out of the vault. Why is that the first
Because
one?
All of my frame of references are extremes. Do you know who I am? Everything is either the best or the worst. Mid isn't in my vocabulary, and so...
You pulled that out. I haven't thought about that movie in probably over a decade.
And you probably
wow.
won't for another decade. That's why it's a 5.
Wow.
Keelan,
wow.
So yeah, 6.5. It was a fine movie. I'm not upset that I watched it. In fact, I'm glad that I watched it. Will I be watching it again? No. Would I be excited if I had to watch it again? Also, probably not. That's my opinion, Your Honor. I'm sorry, Samuel. I don't like me either.
I'm really surprised that I'm going to have maybe the highest rating. I'm putting it at a 9.5.
Wow.
Really liked this movie.
Okay.
The soundtrack sold me. It's definitely one of my favorite soundtracks by far. It's up there with Incredibles or like How to Train Your Dragon and stuff like that for me. The Blues Brothers came to mind. Like, one of my favorite of all time. Wow. And that's like, that's close there for me.
The deep cut.
I love that movie, man. Same. And then everything about, I love the humor, I love that the tact it took with the deeper subjects, the action was fantastic. I really, really liked it a lot.
Okay.
Let's go.
8 out of 10 for me. I think it, because I always got to compare things to, like, Lord of the Rings was a 10 out of 10 for me, Beautiful Boy was a 10 out of 10 for me, so I feel like a solid 8. I'm happy with that.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to land, I feel really good about a 7 for me.
Yeah.
Like, I did enjoy it, and I, like, really liked the performances. There was a lot of, you know, good comedy in there, good, like, character arcs, like we've talked about. But because of just kind of the being lost as I was, I do have to kind of take it down a few notches. And I don't know how soon I would, like, similar to Tyler, but not the same. I wouldn't, like, be not excited if, like, you know, in... you know, a little while Samuel's like, hey, let's watch it again and see if you can follow it better. I'd be like, okay. Like I'm not going to be upset about that. But I also don't think I would actively seek it out. So that, I think, is going to put it just right at a 7 for me. I liked it. I didn't love it. And therefore, that's where it's going to sit. Do we have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
It's my favorite Naked Gun movie.
Well, Mimi, would you like to say anything yourself?
About, like my life? About creative stuff I'm doing?
Yes.
Yes, me. Okay.
A menace to society.
That's me. So I had a podcast. Mimi, what your Mimi never told you, it still exists, but I am now moving over to blog form, so my Instagram is still the same, Facebook's still the same, all the things, but you can check out my blog, What Your Mimi Never Told You, on Blogger, and it's also in links and everything, because that format is better for me to do it this time, and I am doing a series on the Kabbalion, breaking that down, so you can get into hermetics and all that stuff. You guys probably like, what is that? You can learn it there. And then we're also getting into purity culture. And I've been discussing a lot about that with real life people and people I don't know. And so it's just been fantastic. So you can hate me or love me when you read that series. So yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That sounds really cool.
And Tyler, you want to talk about what is coming up?
I'm not going to do the bit again because it was funny the first two times. Yes, we've got two awesome things cooking right now. Mad Artists have Heathers that is on the docket. We are hosting auditions for that the last week in May. So be on the lookout. We're going to be posting audition information the closer we actually get to the auditions. It's going to be a phenomenal show. I've said it once. I'll say it 1,000 times. We are calling on our best and most incredible talent in the greater Atlanta area to come out and audition because this show is going to be one for the record books. So definitely be on the lookout for that. But if you're bored and you want something to listen to, let me tell you why is in recording. We are getting ready for season 2, right? Whatever. Sure.
Calling it season 2.
Getting ready for season 2 of Let Me Tell You Why. Super excited about that. If you like rated R content, where
not Mad Artist affiliated.
Yeah, that's not Mad Artist. Yeah, Mad Artist does not condone or support any of the statements made on that podcast, and they probably never will.
/ video format now.
Yeah, we're about to go live with video, which is super exciting. So if the questionable nature of that podcast piques your curiosity, come and check us out on Let Me Tell You Why on Spotify and soon to be on YouTube.
Not till you go to the VR format.
VR
format.
And
VR.
We're working on it, all right?
And John, how about you hit us with our last Mad Artist plug?
So For all you lovely people who don't remember Dicebox, it is slowly coming back. We have already recorded our first episode and hope to get it posted very soon. And we've already scheduled our next session. And it's hype. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you enjoy nautical, piratey, spooky themes, it's going to be a great time. I have a lovely cast of players. It's going to be great. You're going to have a good time. And I don't know why I went Australian at the beginning. Don't ask questions. We're here for a good time.
So look up Dicebox if you've already seen it on Spotify and most places where podcasts are. And we will be posting them to YouTube as well, but not in a video format, just in a podcast format. And I believe that's everything that we have to plug. So thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artist Entertainment and on YouTube at Mad Artist Entertainment. Leave us a review wherever you're listening. It helps us out a lot. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, or recommendations for us for the future, you can shoot us an email at bannerbox.madartists@gmail.com. And we will see you guys next time when we continue our Lord of the Rings series with the first of the Hobbit trilogy.
Oh, yeah! Yeah,
that's right!
That is the next one we're doing. As Rick drowns himself.
Don't let our unenthusiasm stop you. It's going to be a great podcast episode.
I'm actually very excited.
I am also excited.
To break these down.
I am excited.
Because it's also, I have not seen the series as a whole since it came out in theaters.
Same. Yeah. I've only ever seen the trilogy once through, so I'm very interested to see it again. Yeah.
I think I'll have to watch the third one for the first time.
Ooh.
Really?
Okay.
Just the whole thing. I think I left.
I'm not a hater.
I want to be there with you when you watch it.
We'll
get into it. Early thoughts. I think first two are underrated. The last one is hot garbage. All right. We'll get into it more then.
Yes, we'll get into it later. Bye-bye.
Bye.